Mondale is among those who have expressed shock over yesterday's attempted assassination of President Reagan. Mondale told CCO Radio News that the constant threats on the life of top officials is something he took for granted after becoming vice president.
When I first was supplied with, protected by Secret Service, and incidentally, the first agent I met was Jerry Parr, who was the chief agent with the president yesterday. You're very conscious of it, very concerned about it, and then after a week or two, or less so, and then after a month or two, you don't pay any attention to it. And thankfully, both President Carter and myself went through 4 years, nearly 5 years, of protection with no serious problems. Occasionally, there were threats or perceived threats that the agents would tell me about, in which case they would become far more, they'd take certain precautionary measures that would protect you, and then you would be very conscious of it, but that would go away, and then you'd just live as you always live. It's something you live with, and day by day it becomes very routine.
Mondale refused to speculate on whether tighter gun control would have prevented yesterday's attempted assassination. Charles McKenna of St. Paul was among the AFL-CIO members attending yesterday's convention meeting with President Reagan. McKenna also witnessed the assassination attempt on the life of Ronald Reagan. He was walking out of the hotel when the incident occurred.
So we walked behind the cars there, and of course at that time, then the other people start coming out, and the cops and everything were telling people to come back. So we just got up on the other side of the driveway, and President Reagan was coming out and started waving, and then all at once, bang, 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 the shots start flying, and people duck, and of course, we all ducked on the ground, too, and then we kind of ran back a little bit, and of course, all the Secret Service men and cops, and they had their burp guns out and everything, and it seemed like they just threw President Reagan in the car, and of course, right away, their caravan, they take off.
McKenna says there was open access to the president.
Well, as you look back on it, yes, it was. Although, like we see in the reports, people weren't supposed to be that close. As you come out of the side entrance there, I would say there was just an aisle of about, 8-10 foot wide, and then photographers. It was mostly all photographers right in that area.
Charles McKenna of St. Paul. In 1965, a federal law was implemented dealing with the penalties for a presidential assassination or attempted assassination. U.S. Attorney for the District of Minnesota, Tom Berg, explained the penalties for those crimes.
In the case of a completed an assassination, someone killing the president, there the penalty is the death penalty unless the jury itself qualifies its verdict. In the case of an assassination attempt on the president, the statute provides that the penalty there on a successful conviction would be imprisonment for any term of years up to life imprisonment.
If an assassination or an attempted assassination occurs in one of the states rather than in the District of Columbia, as in the case of President Reagan, Berg says the filing of state charges is also possible. The time is coming up to 7:20. Our Twin City temperature now 42 degrees.
Nice of you to let me ride on your platter with you.
Not at all, Sonny.
Boone and Erickson here on the go in festival country, right here in Minnesota.
Yeah, you keep them going, Buford. That's my brother, Buford, driving the horses there.
Now, you plant with horses.
That's our dog, what?
Well, you plant with horses?
Yeah, planting festival peas we are. I farm the old-fashioned way with horses.
Not all festival vegetables are planted with horses.
No, some use tractors.
Uh-huh.
Some have to plant by hand.
Plant by hand?
Yeah. You take asparagus, things like that, need hand care.
Oh, yeah.
Keep them going, Buford.
Nothing like the smell of freshly worked earth, is there?
Well, one thing better.
What's that?
The smell of a freshly opened can of festal peas harvested when they're small and tender, you know.
Yes, I do know that.
Huh? Same for their corn. That's the way, Buford. You're doing fine.
You'll be raising festal corn, huh?
Yeah. I grow festal cream style. We get that by watering the corn with milk, you know.
Now, come on.
You don't believe that, do you?
The next medical briefing on the condition of President Reagan will be heard live on CCO about 7:30 this morning, now in about 9 minutes. Reagan's condition is said to be very good today. There are some unanswered questions after what happened yesterday, like how John Hinckley got through to the press line closer to the president than most people are allowed to, how this will affect presidential security, and whether President Reagan will begin to limit his appearances in public crowds. WCCO Radio News will be looking into some of those matters throughout the day today. Violence threatens our nation's leaders, and at Atlanta, it threatens innocent children. Nearly two dozen black Atlanta children have been murdered in less than 2 years. This morning, the student council and black history class of Central High School in Minneapolis will present several hundred dollars in donations to the superintendent. Mona Wong, 18, is the student council president.
We're very concerned about the fear that is rampaging through Atlanta for the children. And we figured that we could raise some money through our concerned people here and help out with the investigation down there. We heard they were running short of money and that we could help in some way.
The ceremony is scheduled for 10 this morning at the Central High School Auditorium. A poll of Minnesotans taken a few weeks ago shows that most state residents are in favor of tougher controls on the ownership of pistols. The poll is copyrighted in this morning's Minneapolis Tribune. More than 1,200 adults were questioned. 18% of them said they own pistols. Only 29% of the people surveyed said they are against stricter laws on ownership of guns. A bill allowing liquor to be sold in Minnesota on election days is up for discussion in the House Commerce and Economic Development Committee at 10 this morning. That panel will also debate a bill that would allow liquor sales to begin at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings instead of noon. And this afternoon at 3, the Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee hears a bill requiring the beverage industry to set up its own system of reclaiming containers that can't be recycled. And a $250 million bonding bill for construction at University of Minnesota hospitals is up for debate on another Senate committee this afternoon. I'll have the weather forecast for you in just a minute.
Okay, gang, Cannon and Monday here for the Marquette Banks. We're going to give you another big reason why these banks are the ones for seniors and the twins. Lay it on them, Morg.
Okay, look, I'm sure the folks heard you talk about that new interesting checking plan they got over at Marquette. But one thing you ain't been saying is the extra good deal that seniors get with that plan.
So get to it.
For a guy with nonstop tonsils, you're impatient.
Proceed already.
This Marquette Interesting Checking Plan lets senior customers earn 5.25% interest on the money they normally keep in checking. Their deposits go to a special spending savings account, and when they write checks, just like always, Marquette transfers just enough cash to cover them.
Now, Morg, anybody can get that at Marquette.
That is true, Cannon. But a senior customer gets it with only a $600 minimum balance.
Hey, that's $300 less than the regular minimum. Another good deal for seniors at Marquette. Check it out. Find out why the Marquette banks are the bank seniors choose in the Twin Towns.
Member FDIC.
For the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy today. Highs from 60 to 65 with a 30% chance of a thunderstorm today, 20% chance tonight. Low tonight around 40. Decreasing cloudiness tomorrow with highs tomorrow upper 50s. It'll be windy today. Winds out of the southeast, maybe 15, 25 miles an hour. Barometer's falling now from 29.52 inches. Wind is east, 19 miles an hour. Relative humidity, 76%. And our Twin City temperature this Tuesday morning is 6 Celsius. That's 42 degrees Fahrenheit. A beautiful day to buy a Phoenix at Peterson Pontiac. Right, John?
You got that right, Howard.
A 1980 Phoenix, a few miles on it with air conditioning?
That's right. We have three that were short-term lease cars that are available now. These are five-door hatchbacks. They're fully equipped with air conditioning and automatic transmission, power steering, and brakes. On sale at $6,500. They're a great buy. And, of course, the 1980 looks the same as the 1981. It's the same car, really. So it's a great buy at $6,500. Stop out and see them.
How many Phoenix?
We have three to choose from.
We better move fast.
That's right. We also have a 78 GMC Suburban. If you're going vacationing this spring or summer and you need a full-sized wagon or a full-sized van, this is great for vacations or hauling boats or a travel trailer. And this is on sale at $41.50, so that makes an outstanding buy. We also have a great selection of fresh trades that came in during our rebate program.
And the rebate program, maybe this is the last weekend coming up.
That's right. It'll end this Saturday, and that's on Le Mans and Firebird. So a lot going on out to Peterson Pontiac. Come on and see us.
Peterson Pontiac, 88th and Lindale in Bloomington. Ray?
Indiana won the NCAA Major College Basketball title last night in Philadelphia, topping North Carolina 63-50. The Tar Heels had trouble containing Isaiah Thomas, who led all scorers with 23 points.
I don't know if they didn't defense too well, but it did seem to work.
Bobby Knight capsulizes the things that worked.
Well, we were able to get the ball inside to Isaiah when Carolina came out and trapped us in the first half. And then in the second half, using three guards, Jimmy Thomas, Randy Whitman, and Isaiah, we were able to use him a lot inside in our stack offense.
Indiana 63, North Carolina 50. Virginia took third place honors with a 78-74 victory over Louisiana State. In the National Hockey League, Philadelphia and the New York Rangers played to an unusual 0-0 tie. Boston and Buffalo tied 2-2. The Bruins lead the North Stars by 2 points in the battle for eighth place. Each team has 3 games left. The North Stars at home to St. Louis tonight. The NBA regular season ended Sunday. The playoffs start tonight with Indiana at Philadelphia and Chicago at New York. In the second annual All-Star Hockey Game at Met Center, the collegians from the East beat the West 7-4. After the West scored first, the East got the next 4 goals. 42 degrees at 7:27. When was the last time you got something free?
Well, gee, I don't know. Let's see.
Well, right now in Plywood, Minnesota, you can get free bonuses on air vendors, carpeting, paneling, wallpaper, kitchen cabinets, bathroom vanities.
Wow.
It's Plywood, Minnesota's annual spring sale, the biggest sale event of the year, plus free bonuses, too.
Yes, buy any style of base and wall cabinets for your kitchen and get the Formica brand butcher block countertop. Free!
Choose from several sizes of handsome bath vanities and cultured marble tops and get the Peerless faucet free.
Free!
Buy 7 pre-finished panels and get the 8th one.
Free!
Choose from 20 styles. Buy 3 double rolls of selected wallpapers and get the 4th roll.
Free!
And listen to the special on carpeting.
When you buy any one of Plywood, Minnesota's beautiful professionally installed carpets, you get the long-wearing 3/8-inch carpet pad. Free!
These are in-stock carpets from the nation's leading mills.
Free bonuses plus store-wide savings now during Plywood, Minnesota's annual spring sale in
Bloomington, Fridley, Golden Valley, and St. Paul. In exhibition baseball, Pittsburgh edged the Twins 9-8. Jerry Kuzman gave up 6 runs and 11 hits in 6 innings. Rob Wilfong went 4-for-4. Glenn Adams had a 2-run homer and 4 runs batted in all. Butch Weiniger has an inflammation in his throwing arm and likely will miss the rest of spring training. The Twins hope he'll be ready April 9th. The Twins are now 11-10 in exhibition play. Reggie Jackson of the Yankees has his leg in a cast and may miss the start of the season. Jackson tore a muscle in his right leg in a weekend exhibition game in New Orleans. In case you missed it, the Twins traded Ken Landro to the Los Angeles Dodgers for infielder-outfielder Mickey Hatcher and 2 minor league players, first baseman Kelly Snyder and left-handed pitcher Matt Reeves. Hatcher will stay with the Twins, at least for now. Ray Christensen, WCCO Sports.
You know, Charlie?
Yeah, Raj.
I don't know why anyone should go to Creative Lighting in the Midway.
Bite your tongue!
No, I'm serious. I can't think of a single good reason to go to Creative Lighting.
Well, they were one of our good sponsors. We really
That's not good enough.
And they have the most incredible collection of lights and lamps you'll find anywhere.
So what?
And their Lights Out room is full of light bargains.
Yeah.
And their crystal collection includes hand-cut, hand-polished imported chandeliers and lamps from all over the world.
Big deal.
And on the count of three, if you haven't changed your mind, we're going to be in trouble, fella.
Start counting.
I'm going to punch you in the nose. 1, 2.
Hold it.
What?
April Fool.
April Fool? Wait. That's tomorrow.
I know. This message has been brought to you by Creative Lighting as a public service announcement on behalf of abused parents everywhere who might not remember until it's too late that April Fool's Day is tomorrow.
You had me worried.
So now you've been warned, see?
Well, you know, they really are the folks with all the light ideas. See Creative Lighting today.
Time in 5 seconds will be 7:30. Twin City temperature 42 degrees. This is WCCO, St. Paul and Minneapolis.
First line report, news and commentary.
We hope to have a report from CBS and a news briefing from Washington, D.C., from the hospital there on President Reagan's condition. We're monitoring CBS at the moment and we'll bring it to you as soon as we get that briefing. This is the Morning News Hour. These are the top stories.
I've had a lot of experience, as you may know, in law enforcement, having been a district attorney for many years in Philadelphia. And there are things that can be done about violent crime in this country if we get strong enough, if we get tough enough.
A Pennsylvania senator, Arlen Specter, one of dozens of congressmen to react to the assassination attempt on President Reagan by calling for laws that will discourage the explosion of violent crime in the United States. In news closer to home this Tuesday morning, a Minnesota poll taken several weeks ago by the Minneapolis Tribune shows that 18% of those questioned own pistols, but most favor some controls on the sale of handguns. At the state capitol today,
two committees consider bills raising the license fee for marriage and using the money for battered women and displaced workers. A House subcommittee hears the measure at 8 and a Senate body at 1 o'clock. At 8:30, a House subcommittee considers several bills to revise the state's investment procedures. At 10, one House committee hears a bill ending the ban on liquor sales on election days, while another considers a bill to recycle beverage containers. On that same subject, the Senate committee meets at 3 on its version of throwaway legislation. And at noon, a Science and Technology committee hears a report on the implications of controlling throwaways. Finally, at 3, the Senate Health, Welfare, and Corrections Committee takes up the sale of bonds to build a new U of M hospital. Governor Cui is traveling for the second day in northwestern Minnesota. Jan Falstad, WCCO Radio, government correspondent.
And three Iowa men are accused of selling beef contaminated with cancer. Later this half hour, Stephanie Borden checks in with her single working woman as our series on how CCO land families cope with inflation continues. We'll be talking live with an expert on the JFK assassination, about conspiracies, and on Dick Chapman's Morning Almanac, Lyndon Johnson's surprise. Time now, 7:32, our Twin City temperature 42 degrees, and here are the state-by-state forecasts. For North Dakota, cloudy with showers today, highs from 45 to 53, and then some clearing tonight, and then partly cloudy tomorrow in North Dakota. Lows tonight, 25 to 33, and then tomorrow's highs in the mid-40s to upper 50s. For South Dakota, partly cloudy west, showers east today, isolated thunderstorms in the east this morning. High today for South Dakota, upper 40s to mid-50s, then tonight's low 25 to 35. For tomorrow, South Dakota, partly cloudy and warmer, with highs in the upper 50s to the mid-60s. For Iowa, partly cloudy, windy and warm today, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the 60s and 70s in Iowa. You hear? That's Iowa. Windy tonight, lows tonight in the 40s, then highs tomorrow 55 to 70, with a chance of scattered showers tomorrow in Iowa. For Wisconsin, sunny east, a chance of showers and thunderstorms west today in Wisconsin, highs upper 40s to mid-60s, then cloudy tonight, with showers and thunderstorms more likely, lows from 35 to 45. Then for tomorrow, skies partly cloudy, but a chance of showers and thunderstorms, with highs from the mid-40s in northern Wisconsin to the low 60s in the south. For Minnesota, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely today, mostly in the central and northeast part of the state. Highs from 45 near Lake Superior to the upper 60s southeast today. Lows tonight mostly in the 30s. And rain could change to snow in the northeast portion of Minnesota late tonight. For tomorrow, clearing from the west, highs 45 to 60. And for the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy today, highs from 60 to 65, with a 30% chance of a thunderstorm today and 20% chance tonight. Low tonight in the Twin Cities around 40, with decreasing cloudiness tomorrow, with highs tomorrow in the upper 50s. Winds southeast 15 to 25 miles an hour, northwesterly 15 to 30 miles an hour tonight. Barometers falling now from 29.52 inches, wind is east 19 miles an hour. Relative humidity 76%, and our Twin City temperature 6 Celsius, that's 42 Fahrenheit.
Move over, sun, where the stars in the sky. On the horizon, it's a new day to fly.
Republic Airlines, we're taking off and we're taking you there.
They're coming April 1st. The Republic winners. New Republic nonstop flights to Seattle, Tacoma, on to Portland. One trip and you'll see why our new flights are winners. Start your morning with a hearty steak and eggs breakfast. Or choose a different entree. Or try our dinner flight. Once again, you'll have your choice of entrees. And we top off dinner with complimentary wine. That's Republic's new nonstop service to Seattle, Tacoma, and on to Portland. Just call your travel agent.
The time in 30 seconds will be 7:36, time for the news and Dick Chapman. He may have wanted to murder a president for a long time. John Hinckley, Jr., the man accused of trying to assassinate President Reagan in Washington yesterday, was arrested last year on weapons charges at the Nashville airport when President Carter was in town. He had three guns in a suitcase.
He had three weapons in his possession at the terminal. He had a .22 caliber revolver and .38 and I believe it was 50 rounds of ammunition.
This is First News and Ideas. Dick Chapman, brought to you by First Bank Minneapolis. Hinckley is 25. He's being held without bail. The question of his mental state may come up as proceedings against him begin. Jerry Bowen has more from Denver on the murder suspect.
John Hinckley Jr. stayed off and on St. Neighbors at his parents' home in an affluent section of Evergreen, a town near Denver. His father, an oil and gas company executive, arrived home to be met by Secret Service and FBI agents who questioned the senior Hinckley and his wife at a neighbor's home. Later, family attorney Jim Robinson read a statement saying that the younger Hinckley had recently received psychiatric care, but the evaluation, said Robinson, did not indicate the seriousness of his problems. Other recent activities of the jobless college dropout are sketchy. It is known that on March 11th, he sold a guitar and typewriter at a Denver pawn shop for $50. His parents, described as distraught, said in a statement they will stand by their son. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Denver.
And as Fernando Del Rio reports this morning, there's also a Dallas connection to the Reagan assassination attempt.
The man and the gun involved in the attempt to assassinate President Reagan have been linked to Dallas. Former classmates of John Hinckley Jr. remember the Highland Park High School student as unimpressive but witty and charming. Hinckley graduated from the affluent upper middle class school in 1973. His married sister still lives here, leading a quiet existence until now. Federal agents have confiscated records from a Dallas pawn shop that show Hinckley purchased a pair of .22 caliber pistols last October, the type called Saturday Night Special. It's not clear yet whether the gun bought in Dallas is also the one that was fired at the president.
Time now 22 minutes before 8 o'clock. Our Twin City temperature is 6 degrees Celsius, 42 Fahrenheit.
Hard work. It's been an American tradition since the Pilgrims settled this land. Yet in recent years, many have raised questions as to whether Americans have lost their respect for work. Here in the North Country, we at the First Bank sometimes wonder just what all the fuss is about.
She held to her agreement and forced to give up the child.
We're going to switch to CBS for an update on the hospital report soon from Washington, D.C. Should be coming down our CBS line momentarily.
We have the time now, 21 and a half till 8 o'clock. Twin City temperature, 42 degrees. Radar shows light rain showers scattered over central Minnesota near Alexandria to north of Wadena. Showers moving toward the north about 30 miles an hour.
This is a CBS News special report. I'm George Herman, CBS News, Washington. The White House is about to begin its morning medical briefing on the condition of President Reagan and the three men wounded with him by an assassination attempt yesterday afternoon. The briefing is to be in the auditorium of the Executive Office Building, and Neil Strausser is there. Neil?
You better go, Tony.
Well, apparently Neil is not hearing me. The briefing officers are there. Larry Siegel.
Neil Strausser at the White House. We're at the old Executive Office Building. Deputy Press Secretary Larry Speaks is now introducing the two doctors who will speak to us this morning on condition of the president and others who are wounded. Dr. Dennis O'Leary of George Washington University and Dr. Daniel Ruge, who's the White House physician. This is Dr. O'Leary.
The president had an excellent night. The endotracheal tube, which was placed in his surgery, was removed at 3 o'clock this morning, and he was moved from the recovery room to a private area at about 5 o'clock this morning. He did not get a lot of sleep last night, busy night. He maintained a constant dialogue with the nurses and doctors who were in constant attendance with him. Maintaining an excellent sense of humor. I'm sure you'll hear many of his remarks. My favorite one is he said, if I'd gotten this much attention on Hollywood, I never would have left. But this went on all night. I had an opportunity to see him this morning. He is in excellent spirits. All of his vital signs are entirely normal. He's on almost no medication. And at this point in time, he really probably does not require an intensive level of medical care. He's doing extremely well. Mr. McCarthy is also doing extremely well, and he is complaining a little bit of soreness in the liver area, which is a little bit understandable. He has a mild elevation of his temperature and of his white blood count, which would be expected after a liver injury. But he otherwise is doing extremely well. Mr. Brady is much improved over his initial prognosis. He still has his endotracheal tube in. However, he is responsive and is moving the right side of his body in response to command. As anticipated, his tube will be removed later today. We are guarded as to his prognosis, but his progress thus far has really been extraordinary.
Are you suggesting that Mr. Brady understands your directives or questions to him and responds to them?
Yes.
Dr. O'Leary, I take it then that the prognosis for the president's complete recovery is excellent than you expected.
That is correct.
How soon do you expect that?
How soon for his complete recovery? Okay, hospital courses, does vary by patients, probably in the range of a week or two, but that'll depend upon his specific course, and then after that, probably a couple of months until he is totally back to riding horses.
Dr. O'Leary, has the president been using the telephone? Has he been in contact with the White House?
Well, there've been a number of people from the White House in to see the president. This morning he is, as I say, fully alert, joking back and forth.
Wasn't?
I don't believe so. Well, the question was, how soon can the president put in a full-time day? That's a little bit speculative. He's obviously able to function right now, and in terms of his thought process, capacity to make decisions and so forth, he can probably put in a full-time day-to-day as long as he gets a nap this afternoon.
How many times for post-operative complications, such as pneumonia or adolescence?
At this point in time, I would be very surprised to see such complications developed. He is doing as well as any patient who's had an operation on his chest could do.
Has the president at all asked or has he been told about the condition of his press secretary?
He is not aware of the number of the other people who were shot and injured at this time. He did not ask in my presence. I can't say whether he's asked anyone else, but he is not aware of it as of this morning. Yes.
Roger, could you say that the president talking so much and joking so much, is this normal, or is he on some kind of high, or why is he not talking?
I don't think he's on any high, and I don't think we put him there on the basis of any of his drugs. He's a very outgoing, very vital person. From what I've seen of him, this is quite in character.
Does the president have much pain? What is his comfort?
The president is requiring almost no pain medication at all. He is tough in a good sense.
Doctor, any indication at this point in the military of any brain damage that Jim Brady might have suffered?
Well, the bullet, did entered just lateral to his left eye and really traversed across to the right posterior skull where it stopped and it was removed. There was fairly extensive damage of the right hemisphere of the brain. However, that is his non-dominant side. And the important area that controls not only his motor movement on his right side, but all of his speech and mental processes are on the left side. There was some minimal amount of damage involving the left side of the brain. In patients like this, the spectrum of possible outcomes is very, very wide. And it would be really highly speculative right now to guess of what will happen to him.
Dr. O'Leary, it does seem rather strange that you have not told. Just a moment. It does seem rather strange that you have not told the president of the condition of his own press secretary. Is that a medical decision? Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned of his reaction?
No, I think you have to remember the president has been through a little bit of an experience himself, and our general experience is that we don't force feed information to people Rather, we, you know, respond when they feel ready to deal with it. With an answer by asking a question.
In your presence, did he ask any questions or make any specific requests?
No. You know, I can relate to you that Mr. Nofziger related to him that he'd be happy to know that the government was running normally, and he responded, what makes you think I'd be happy about that?
That was Dr. O'Leary giving a report on the president's condition from George Washington Hospital in Washington, D.C., saying again that the president's condition is excellent, that Jim Brady's condition is improving slightly, that Jim Brady can understand directions and questions from doctors. In just a few minutes this morning, we'll have an expert on the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy.